Thanks for listening to the podcast. Stay connected on Facebook/ IFBB Ben PAK fan page, on Twitter at IFBB Ben PAK, and of course, BenPakulski.com.
And what's up, everybody? Muscle expert podcast in the house with the man himself, Dr. Jacob Wilson, and me, the little guy, BPAC, Ben Pakulski. Welcome, everybody. Hope you're having an amazing training week. We haven't done a podcast in a while, so Doc, thanks very much for getting back together with me. You and I have a hard time coordinating schedules sometime, but you know we will continue to do it, and we'll do it regularly as much as we can. So always a pleasure, my man.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, I love this show, and I'm always pumped up to talk with you about the science of getting huge and jacked.
That's really what it's all about, man. That's what my brain likes to think about. Is like, how can we, you and I, get more jacked, and how can we help other people get more jacked and kind of simplify their life, man? So many people, overcomplicate training, and or maybe they just don't know how to make it, how to make themselves progress. So, you know, good to have you and I as resources to teach people, huge them, as I make up my own words. So the topic of today's conversation between Doc and I is really just going to be that. It's going to be a short conversation about periodization. And I think it's, you know, for me, probably the biggest thing lacking from a lot of people's lives in early stages in training. As you advance, I think you kind of naturally do it organically. You just kind of do it, you know, thoughtlessly and just learn to periodize your training because you're always thinking about stuff. But I know for me in the first 5 years of training, I had no idea what periodization was. I had no idea what it meant that it was supposed to do and how often I was supposed to change stuff and, you know, what things were I supposed to change. So, you know, I remember the first thing someone told me how to periodize was do a workout forward 1 week and the next week do it backwards. That was my periodization schedule when I was 17. So, you know, it was variation, but it certainly wasn't periodization. So Doc is an amazing authority on periodization, and I'll give you my 2 cents as well. So welcome everybody. And Doc, where do you want to start about periodization? Why don't we start with periodization for beginners, and then we'll go into intermediate, and then we'll talk about advanced.
Absolutely. So basically, one thing like Ben talked about is that periodization is, you know, if you think about it, most guys go in the gym like, oh, what am I going to train today? You know, oh, I think I'll lift, like, do supersets, right? So there's some variation in there, but it's kind of just like whatever you feel like, whereas periodization is planned variation. It's structure. And so, you know, when you're looking at, like, a beginner, for example, they need to understand that, you know, one, bodybuilding is going to take a long time to put on muscle, right? So it's just something that's not going to happen in 2 weeks. They're going to want to plan out, ideally, really what's going to happen over a year. But that's going to start with the training week to a month, to a number of months. And one thing we do know with beginners all the way to advanced is that beginners need variation, but they also need to get used to the lifts and how to actually lift. So they actually can stick with the program a little bit longer than someone who's more advanced, like maybe a top MVC competitor or something like that. So
yeah, man, as far as beginners go, I don't think they strategically vary anything. I mean, every beginner I know, even people who have been training up to 10, 15 years in some cases, these are things that they're good at. And that's probably the biggest, you know, that's a huge problem in training. You know, if everyone comes in, does the same thing, and they do the things that they like and they're good at. And that's okay sometimes because, you know, quote unquote, they feel good. But sometimes, you know, the way I approach my training with a lot of my clients is you got to find what you suck at. And you got to do it again and again and again and again until it's your strength. So, you know, identify your weakest link and what you, like, literally suck at, and let's get great at it. And there's a reason why you suck at it. It's probably, you know, a weak body part or something you haven't done properly or you don't do often. So let's, like, beat it into the ground and keep beating it over the head until it's, you know, our strength. And that's periodization in itself, right? That's, you know, let's go from doing the things you're great at to doing the things you suck at, and that's going to be changed for you right there as a beginner.
100%, 100%. Like, you know, working at what – because think about it. Like, guys go to the gym, they automatically select exercise that they're good at and they're comfortable with. Oh,
yeah.
Automatically.
The same ones week in, week out, right?
Yeah. Oh, going to automatically walk over to the bench press. Oh, going going to go squat and do the same stance I've been doing the last 10 years and wonder why.
Exactly. I'm really strong in this position, so I'm going to start there. And when it comes to bodybuilding, that's not always the right scenario or always the right mindset, right? It's like, you know, I know that I'm stronger on a flat bench press than an incline, so maybe I'll start there. Or maybe, you know, I know I'm stronger with dumbbells, or I know I really like to do, you know, front squats instead of back squats, so I'm going to start with that. But that's not always the best mentality, you know, strategically varying that, you know, from a perspective of getting good at the things you are not great at is often better when it comes to hypertrophy, because you're only as good as your weakest link.
Yeah, 100%. One guy in my lab, Jake Orms, you know Jake, he's become a really high-level competitive bodybuilder, and one thing he does a lot similar with you is he's always focusing, he goes in the gym, he's always focusing on destroying the muscle, and not, he honestly doesn't even care about the weight, it's always about the muscle, and like every couple weeks, like he'll get comfortable with the squat stance, and right when he gets comfortable, he will change that up. So, you know, he's been going real close on his squat stance, and then he got used to that, and now he's widened his stance. His adductors are killing him, you know, like his, you know, he's got more soreness in his hamstrings, and all he did was just change up his stance to something he's completely not comfortable with. And I think that's one of the biggest things is like being periodization is challenging yourself and planning to get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, I mean, in one perspective, you know, from one perspective, you always want to be producing as much power as possible. You know, in most scenarios, when you're trying to build muscle, you always want to be strong. You always want to be, you know, recruiting as many motor units as possible. But in the same opposite perspective, you know, you're only going to be as good as your weakest link, and your body's always going to naturally want to put tension through its strengths, right? Your body's always looking for the path of least resistance. So, you know, what's my easiest way to move away from point A to point B? That's what your body's thinking about. So it's going to put as much force and tension as it can through your strengths and as little as possible through your weaknesses. So it's your job as someone who's looking to optimize their physique to change that. You need to put the tension where you want it to go, right? And this is one of the things I try to teach everybody. It's like, forget about what your body naturally wants to do. Forget about what your strengths are. Let's make your strengths what you want your strengths to be. And let's manipulate it so you have no more weaknesses. And that's so vital, you know, strategically varying things. And that's periodization in itself for beginners. So, you know, for all you beginners out there, or even, you know, intermediate people, identify what you suck at. Identify your weakest links. And sorry to use such crude language, but that's the truth. Just identify your weakest link and beat it over the head. I remember when I, you know, obviously my back has been something that's, you know, been a quote-unquote weakness. And I remember doing 18 sets in a workout for one-arm dumbbell rows. And people think I'm crazy, but it's 3 hours of back workout, 18 sets for one arm dumbbell rows. I did, and that's not just 18 straight sets. That was strip sets, drop sets, you know, partial reps, like literally 3 hours of one arm dumbbell rows. I probably did 2 hours of one arm dumbbell rows, then a bunch of other stuff. But you know, that's because I sucked at it, and I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't get it. And I was like, why don't I really feel this exercise? So instead of going, well, I don't feel it really well, I'm not going to do it anymore, I said, well, I don't feel it really well, I'm going to do 18 sets. you know, I did 15. I want to do 15, and I'm doing 3 extra because I still wasn't getting it right. So I said, no, keep going, do more. It's just that kind of chip on the shoulder attitude.
Exactly. So, you said, I think the biggest thing for beginners, they really need to be able to say, okay, what are my weak points, and I got to be willing to go and work on those.
Right. And how often would you suggest then, Doc, that is maybe optimal for someone who's a beginner to change their training frequency or their training schedule?
It seems that, like, when you look at the studies, that people who are just starting out can actually change their program, like, every 4 weeks and make really good gains. And a lot of it's because the coordination is just, at first it's just not there. You know, so it takes a lot longer time to learn to hit, you know, on a lat pull down event or on a pull up, or, you know, you're doing a squat and you're having a hard time even balancing the bar. And so they need a little bit more time on task. So they can get away with even focusing and varying it every 4 weeks, which still comes out to changing their program, you know, 12 times a year to start. But once they get out of that, then they'll need to start varying it more often.
Yeah, totally. So one thing I actually do with my beginner clients is I write one workout for them, like 1 week of workouts, and I have them repeat that 6 times. And people are like, well, you know, I want to change my workout, but they don't realize the benefit of, like, keeping things basic and repeating it so that there's, you know, your body has the ability to adapt. And usually it's repeated about every 5 days. So we may repeat for 4 to 6 weeks. And people are like, well, you know, I'm doing the same workout for 4 to 6 weeks. Don't I need to change it? And as a beginner, the answer is no, you don't. The answer is you need to teach your body to adapt and learn those motor engrams. So keeping it very simple, keeping it very basic, I guess, or based around compound movements, is probably the best way for beginners to really learn how to do things properly. So, you know, as people advance, then I may give them 4 weeks of workouts and have them repeat that 2 to 3 times. So then, you know, there's a great deal of variation in there, but they still get the repetitiveness and repetition so they can adapt. I mean, that's one of the things that beginners actually need to do is they need to learn movement patterns. They also need to learn to allow their body to adapt as opposed to getting in there and changing things every day. I think it's important to allow for the adaptation. Most people don't even think about that. You know, as an advanced athlete or a pro bodybuilder, you can adapt workout to workout because you're so advanced, your body's going to respond to whatever you do, and you know, you need to change it literally every day almost or every week for sure. So, but as a young or intermediate athlete, young as far as training age, the idea is to allow your body to adapt. I mean, the less you have to think about it, the better. Your opinions on that, Doc?
100% agree with that. And the biggest thing I always say, like, for people just getting into bodybuilding is that it's no different than any other sport. Like, I know, like, when I watch you come in and train, every single lift that you perform is highly skilled. Like, you have trained yourself through year after year after year to recruit, you know, that specific muscle group. And so if you take someone who's a beginner and you're like, okay, here's trying to adapt to 100 exercises that way, it's not going to happen, you know. So they really have to focus on keeping it basic and learning how to recruit those muscle groups. Honestly, creating a mind-muscle connection, it's, you know, there's a lot of data, you know, we've done with you, with your intent, to where you can create and activate those muscles that need to be activated during that workout. And that takes a long time. So if you're varying the work exercise every 5 seconds, it's going to be too much. They won't be able to respond.
Right. So a lot of people take the mentality of each body part needs to be trained every 7 days. And that's, again, another one of the things that I'd like you to touch on, because I know I teach everybody, it's like, what does every 7 days mean to your body? It means absolutely nothing. It's completely arbitrary. So why is it become so commonplace to train every body part once a week? To me, it's absolutely ludicrous. People get stuck in this mentality of, oh, I got to train chest on Monday and back on Tuesday, and like sometimes happens on Saturday, but usually I go out drinking Friday night, so I don't end up doing it. So, you know, what's the idea, or what's the optimal frequency for hypertrophy at any level, really? Is there an optimal time frame? And is it different for a beginner to an advanced person in your perspective?
I'd say, well, it's definitely different from a beginner to someone who's advanced. And it's also dependent on how you're varying the workout. So if someone, for example, when someone's more advanced, you know, someone's a beginner, they might train every body part 2-3 times a week, and that might be just fine. When someone's really advanced, maybe they can go beyond that if they have a weak point. But, you know, for example, one thing I always tell people is that frequency is not volume. You know, it's not training volume. It's related to training volume, but it's not training volume. So, you know, the best way I always put it, like I tell my students, like, what would be better when you study for an exam? To study all out the night before or to spread it out throughout the week? And they all know, even though they studied the night before, that, you know, inevitably it's spreading out throughout the week. So there was a study out of Norway at a Ronstadt lab, and they took high-level power lifters and who were doing bench and squat 3 days a week, and they took their same training volume and cut it in half. Let's say you're doing 10 sets of squats 3 times a week, they did 5 sets 6 times a week, and they got their hypertrophy skyrocketed. They got so much hypertrophy. You know, the people studying the study were interested in more of strength, but you look at the hypertrophy, it was huge. And so frequency is a tool. You know, I don't know if we know the ideal frequency, but we do know that, like other sports, the more you practice, the better. But you can't do the same thing every workout, you know. So if I were to train 8 to 12 and I were to do drop sets and supersets, you know, 50 sets just like that on Monday, I'm probably not going to do the same thing on Tuesday, Wednesday, right? So we have different muscle fibers. And so say if I were to train 3 times a week, I'm going to try and hit a different aspect of the muscle all 3 times. So that's,
yeah, definitely,
that's kind
of nice. That was a super cool study that you told me about, man. I thought that was really interesting. And one of the things that I think people need to think about or at least come to terms with is how little we as human beings and fitness authorities actually really know about hypertrophy or about training, right? The truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is the perfect protocol does not exist. And we could be doing things completely wrong. There could be some protocol out there that, you know, multiplies training by 4 over what we already do. There could be something that we're not doing. Maybe training every body part every day is the best way to do it, but we've just never tested it yet. Maybe training every body part 3 times a day is the best way to grow. Like, or maybe training it, you know, who knows, like 1 rep. Or, you know, I had someone suggest to me that you should only train to sweat threshold. And this was a very intelligent person, and he had a very, very scientific logic behind it. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. You know, there's so many things we have no idea about. So, you know, taking the standpoint of, well, I need to train once a week or twice a week is completely closed-minded and misguided, and from my perspective. It's just a matter of, like, learning what works. Let's try some stuff. And if someone that you respect and you think is intelligent like you, Doc, says, hey, you should train this way, you know, someone who dedicates their life to this stuff, it's probably a good idea to kind of take their lead and listen to what they say, because they're talking from experience and they're talking from knowledge, as opposed to just, hey, I think you should train once a week because some bodybuilder in the 1980s and 90s did that. It's just silly, right? So getting that point across that how little we really know, man. I mean, and you're the first to admit that. It's like it's all kind of speculative, and we hope that one day we'll figure it out. But right now, the amount that we know is probably so minimal relative to what we could know.
100%, man. Like, I mean, every single semester, like my lab, literally, the guys in my lab, we spend 10, 12 hours every single day trying to figure it out. And at the end of the day, we're like, damn, we're so far away from what needs to be found out. It's a 24-hour thing, literally, trying to figure out, like, how do you optimize growth? And we're just scratching the surface, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. So as far as maybe suggesting some methods of periodization for people, Doc, I know you're pretty well versed in this stuff, and you've got some people in your lab who are literally world authorities on this stuff. Anything you suggest that maybe try for a beginner versus an advanced type of periodization?
So let's say you got someone, if someone's intermediate and someone's either intermediate or advanced, we know that they do need to vary it more frequently. And this is what we call, what's called non-traditional periodization. It's more of a new form of periodization. And actually, there's been a lot of studies on it now. And one of the guys who kind of was instrumental in proposing the idea of this was Polquin. And we know, he's done a lot of cool stuff. But there's been a lot of studies on this now. And basically, there's two types. One is weekly undulating periodization, and that's where you change it up every week. And the other is daily undulated periodization, and that's where you change it up every day. And kind of what our lab sort of has found is that a combination of the two is ideal. So and obviously there's a lot of methods. I'm not saying there's ideal methods, but when someone goes about programming, they want to, again, have a plan. So the first thing, obviously, all bodybuilders should really do is say, especially when they start getting intermediate advanced, is saying, okay, they need to set a needs analysis and say, what are my goals? You know, I'm trying to add mass, but you can't add mass to everything, you know, necessarily at once. If you give if you try and optimize everything, you probably aren't going to get gains. You might get mediocre gains and everything. So you got to know going in, okay, obviously I want everything to keep growing, but what are my weak points, right? So those are going to be the body parts you might hit more frequently. You know, if it's your delts, you know, like, you're going to need to spend, that's where your frequency is going to be a lot higher. You know, if it's your legs, your frequency is going to be a lot higher on that. Once you do that, what you're going to do is select out your frequency definitely more than one time a week, I would say. you know, at minimum, I'd say guys should train everything 2 to 3 times a week. Even though we have data that, you know, you could train each body part, you know, body parts up to twice a day, I would say at minimum 2 to 3 times a week. Let's say you take that simple split. Well, you're going to want to divide those days up to hitting different muscle fibers and you training different mechanisms. So we have our slow-twitch muscle fibers, we have our fast-twitch muscle fibers, and we know we have our mechanical stress, and we know we have our cell-swelling and, you know, metabolic stress, lactic acid type of stress. So if you start off basically on Monday when you're fresh, might be better to get your heavier workouts in for the mechanical stress. So for those days, you might be lifting like as heavy as you can for 6 to 8 reps, a little bit longer rest period with more of the compound brutal movements. You know, you come back to hit that body part again Wednesday, you might be a little bit fatigued from that heavy lifting. Your joints might feel a little bit, you know, hurt. In that case, you're going to probably do a lighter workout and more focus on intent. You know, with exercise, we can really focus on the muscle where your repetition range might be 12 to 15, and you're trying to target the type 1 slow-twitch muscle fibers. So, and you're trying to use internal focus or intent so you can target, say, the pecs or, you know, certain aspects of your back that are weak. And then by Friday, you should be recovered in that muscle, and you're going to hit it with, like, traditional hardcore high-volume shocking method hypertrophy, 8 to 12 reps, you know, 30, 60 seconds rest. I know you like giant sets, Ben, giant sets, super sets. That's going to be the workout where, like, I can't walk the next day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so, I like giant sets just from the perspective of it's hard, it works, it sucks, but, you know it's going to be effective for cell swelling and volumization. And a lot of people just don't have the balls to do it, right?
100%, man. 100%. So, and that's the main point. It's to train your muscles. It trains your, you know, your heart, your gut, your mind.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
But so that's the point. Like, now, if someone goes in here, like, they're going to train a body part and they can't walk, they're going to do it 3 or 4 times. They can't walk after each workout. Eventually, that's going to catch up with them. I'm all for being hardcore, but you have to vary the high, super high volume, high intensity workouts with a little bit lighter workouts, so you're just focusing on bringing blood to the muscle, still getting a growth stimulus, but allowing yourself to recover, your mind to recover, and then hitting it again. So, you know, in an ideal world for a weak point body part, I'm hitting it with a heavier compound day, a balls to the wall day, where you're doing 8 to 12, 36 minutes rest, and then a lighter 12 to 15 rep day. You're not... you know, it's more intense. The weights are not as heavy. You are focusing more on some of the isolation movements, more of the cable movements. You're not doing as many shocking methods. So, and that allows you to get more frequency as well. Or it could be a blood flow restriction day where you're causing getting that pump, that swelling response, but you're not causing a lot of damage. So that's what I would tell these people. If you're training twice a week, I would do a heavier day and a balls-to-the-wall hypertrophy day. If you're training 3 times a week, heavy, light day hypertrophy.
Exactly. I mean, that's probably the most perfect advice right there. And now one of the catch that I like to suggest there is it's always a matter of, you know, how much you can recover from. So I highly don't suggest going from 1 time a week to 3. It's got to be a progression, and that's, you know, a periodization in itself. So if you're at 1 time a week now, let's maybe bump it to 2 times a week next week, and then the week after that, let's go back to 1, and then, you know, after that, go back to 2 for maybe 2 weeks in a row, and then allow your body to strategically increase slowly, because the increased volume and the increased frequency is a stage for adaptation in itself. So, going from 1 time a week to 3 times a week, you're almost missing like a growth phase in there, right? Like your body's going to grow to the increased frequency and increased volume, even if it's just a slight increase. So you want to make it progressive. And, I always try to teach people is that I think the most logical, from my perspective, and you may disagree with this, Doc, but the most logical and intelligent way that I can see to get results, whether it be from muscle building or fat burning, is kind of doing as little possible work and getting the maximum results out of it. Because ultimately, if I go for, if I'm doing three workouts a week or for that body part, I have to do more. Like, I can only sustain that for so long. And for me to grow, I either have to periodize down and recover and then go back up. But, you know, I have to do more. I mean, your body, once it gets used to something, there's very few ways to make it grow other than doing either more frequency or more volume or more weight, or there has to be a greater stimulus. So, you know, always use those growth phases in your favor. So if you're doing one time a week now, you know, go to every 5 days and then go to every 3 days and then go to every 2 days and, you know, progress it up that way, I think, is probably the most simple and logical way for anybody to progress to periodization, at least at the start, and then you can work into, you know, your undulation and things like that.
100%, man. No question about it. You can't jump from definitely one to three. And yeah, I definitely agree with that. And the other thing I would tell, like, the people is that, like, we talk about periodizing from week to week. And one thing I noticed actually about a lot of your programs, like your MI40 programs, that I really liked was you varied it from day to day, but there's variation from week to week. And you kind of, you know, you would start it off. Basically, you might start it off where it's like, okay, you're starting to condition the muscle, and then it would go up the next week. Then it would be, I think I'm going to die the next week. And then you would actually allow the person to unload a little bit.
So right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? And so I think it's like a step loading protocol. You know, 3 weeks, I step up the volume. By the third week, I want to kill myself. Fourth week, I'm sort of backing off and allowing myself to recover.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you can't. The one thing that I preach is growth is never linear, right? Growth cannot be linear. It's never a growth curve that goes straight up. It's always up and then it's down. It's up and it's down. It levels off. So you can never expect to grow continuously for any amount of time. So I've actually been writing a lot of programs lately, writing actually a bulking diet, and teaching people that, you know, understand the fact that growth can never be linear is a huge thing to get through your head. Because, you know, I know so many people that are doing like the perpetual bulk, right? They're doing the 6 month off season bulk, trying to gain weight. But in reality, that's not the best approach, because your body cannot do that. Your body's going to grow in spurts, right? Think about young kids. You're always going to grow in a spurt. You know, you're going to grow for 2 or 3 weeks, and then your body's going to level off, and then you can maybe grow another spurt. So you almost want to plan your training and your nutrition around these spurts, or almost try to create the spurts. You know, ultimately, like if you kind of put your body into a period of massive caloric excess, you're going to create a spurt, but it's only going to last for so long, because your insulin resistance is going to increase. Your body's ability to swell and volumize is only so, it's only limited, right? So then we, you know, do a period of, you know, maybe calorie restriction and you know, perhaps body fat reduction phase for maybe a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, however long, depending on your current body composition. And then you go back into another growth phase where you're almost kind of strategically causing these growth periods to occur by, you know, putting your body, I think you and I talked about this, Doc, the idea of like cycling your nutrients, you know, a period of excessive nutrients followed by a period of caloric restriction. It's almost simulating that post-show rebound, that post-show effect. And you know,
yes.
if someone's committed to doing that, it can be massively successful and effective.
I 100% agree with that. That's one thing. Okay, I'm glad that you and I both agree on this, because I think people look at someone who's huge, and they go, oh, they put on a little bit of muscle every single day, every single month, year after year. And in reality, if you look at the data, there's a top scientist in the world. He's done more strength training studies than anyone. It's Häkkinen out of Finland. And he followed elite weightlifters for over 2 years' time, and basically you see exactly what you just said. You see plateau, 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 huge burst. Plateau, 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 huge burst. And, you know, that's how we grow. We grow, and we can, if we think about it, all the listeners who are listening right now, if you think about it, you can go back and think about those times where it's like, damn, that was one of the best times of my life. I grew like a weed. And, you know, it's just, what periodization is trying to do is, how in the hell can we trigger those growth responses? Can we get them more frequently from both a training standpoint and nutrition standpoint? And like you point out, you know, if I'm going to go on a 6 month bulk, okay, great. Guess what? After a month, I'm going to start becoming insulin resistant. After 2 months, I'm definitely going to be insulin resistant. So I wonder why the only thing I'm gaining after 2 months is fat, right? So, you know, periodizing your training, periodizing your nutrition, you know, coinciding those things with your training volume is absolutely critical.
I think it's probably also, I mean, this is a little off topic and maybe what we shouldn't be talking about, but I think it's probably also the reason why those Olympic athletes from, you know, the 60s, 70s, and 80s, probably more 70s and 80s, started cycling their steroids, you know, as opposed to doing them all the time. They realized, hey, we can't grow or we can't get stronger linearly because we're either going to burn out or going to hurt ourselves. So maybe we should cycle on and off of these things and anticipate the growth spurts. You know, as opposed to, you get some bodybuilders nowadays, especially the young kids who don't know what the hell they're doing, staying on this stuff all the time and anticipating being able to grow tremendously all year round. And they go, man, I only put on 3 pounds of muscle this year. I wonder why that is. Well, it's because you don't know what the hell you're doing, and you're not allowing your body to cyclically kind of work in its natural rhythms, you know?
100%, man. I mean, that's the thing. Your body's going to adapt to pretty much any stimulus you give it, and you're going to have to counter that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to continuously be giving it new stimulus, and then you know, when you've kind of peaked out your amount of stimulus, you got to take a step back, and you got to find a way to, you know, allow your body to recover and then push it again. You know, it's the idea of overreach and then over-recover. So.
Yeah, and that's the second part of what periodization. It's not just planned variation; it's programmed rest, and you have to anticipate like. Like with how we step load, for example, you step up week one, go higher volume week two. Week three, you kind of overreach, and week four, you back off, and then you start a new four-week cycle. And then maybe your third month, one of the things the guys in my lab kind of came up with is you go to the third cycle, and maybe that overreaching week, you put out to 2 weeks. Where like, even though you feel like hell the first week, you do it again the next week after that, but then you're sort of, then you take 2 weeks with the volume lower to sort of recover. So, you know, that's really what periodization is. And the one thing I want to emphasize too is, you know, as you become more advanced and is being able to change the exercise. And that was the beginning of the show that you talked about. Beginners will want to go to what they're good at, but people who are advanced sometimes are the worst at doing that. You know, like I said, they'll walk in and like, oh, I'm going straight to the bench press, or I'm going to squat today, and I'm going to fix the same damn stance that I've done the last 15 years.
This is why I think it's so important that people have written programs. I mean, why I write them so often, I try to help people with it, is if it's not written, you're not going to follow it. If it's not written, you're not going to get outside your comfort zone. You're going to know how you feel that day. And how you feel that day may not be the best indication of how well you should be training. So, like, if I feel like shit and I don't go to the gym, and maybe I'm supposed to go to the gym. Maybe that's kind of my body just saying, hey, we're just starting to get into that overreaching phase. Like, Doc, how many times have you gone in the gym because you knew you had a program to follow? You wanted to trust in the program. You knew the results were there. It's just a matter of, man, I feel really crappy today. Maybe I won't go. Well, no, I have to go. I know I have to get this workout in. I know that's when I got my best results is, you know, I've been guilty of just as everybody else is not following programs from time to time because, I mean, you know, I think I know enough in my head, but sometimes you're your worst enemy because you go to the gym and you end up doing things that you like or you skip the workout. And, you know, following that strategic workout where it's planned overreaching, planned recovery, planned strength phases, planned adversity phases is so important to people's success. You know, planning a workout for 12 months, it's extremely difficult to do, but, you know, the amount of results is probably 10 times what you get if you don't.
Exactly right. And then one thing you pointed out that was really cool was your body will basically place stress on the areas that are strongest almost, you know, the muscle groups that are strongest. So
of course,
in support of that, we did publish a paper with, this is actually a guy who's coming in our lab in the fall, Dr. DeSouza. And what we did was, none of the studies are periodizing exercises. They just periodize repetition range and volume. So we actually periodize the exercise. So we had one group just squats the whole time, over several weeks' time. And then we had another group, and we changed their leg work, their leg exercises continually. And the group that just did their same stance squat, you know, everyone knows that they call it the quads for a reason, because the quadriceps have four heads to them, and basically the group that only squatted only got growth in two of the heads. The group that, yeah, and I think, I was just thinking, I was like, I think it's what Ben's talking about. I think your body's just selecting, like, okay, those two heads can take the most stress, you know, we're just going to, your body's just selecting that as, that's going to get me through this workout. But if you change it, you have, it changes. Now, if you change angles, like, wait, that muscle group, that head's actually more advantageous for this exercise, so I'm going to select that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And also different parts of the range, right? By changing the exercise, certain muscles are more likely to recruit in different parts of the range. Like if it's only the lengthened part of the range versus only the shortened part of the range, different muscles may have a better moment to move through that range. So you're likely to stimulate them more. That's why strategic variation is so important. You know, you got to make sure you're always varying the part of, you know, always the thing I preach is get strong at different parts of the range. So important, because if you only get strong at one part of the range, chances are you're only going to be developing one very small group of muscle fibers in a particular muscle. So if you want to maximize hypertrophy, you must strategically vary all your exercises, and you must strategically vary the part of the range that you're isolating and you're overloading. So super cool, man. This has been a great chat, Doc. Is there anything else you wanted to chat about or add before we wrap up?
Yeah, just real quick on the exercise selection, is that, you know, a lot of guys, like, well, you know, they're going to go in the gym, they're going to squat every single workout. So one thing, and or they're going to bench every single workout. So one thing we suggest in our lab is that, say, you know, basically, I don't know, it could be every four, you're changing the rep scheme every workout, but at least every month or every, take that criterion exercise that you love and switch it up. So if you look at the squat, say if you love squatting, great, but then, you know, one time you're going in a squat, do a high bar squat. Then, you know, when as you adapt to that stance or bar placement, put it low. If you adapt to that, you know, if you're doing a full stance squat, once you feel like, oh, I'm comfortable with this, make it wide. And I want to emphasize to the people this one thing that you talk about all the time. And I can't emphasize this enough. There's a lot of people who say, like, oh, just lift heavier and you'll get bigger, right? The muscle doesn't know a difference. One, that's wrong. But two, bodybuilding is not powerlifting. It's totally different. So, you know, you want to get better at a certain movement in powerlifting, you want to select out that ideal stance for powerlifting. And bodybuilding, it's not that way. You want to make the muscle, you want to make the muscle work harder. You're going to make it less efficient. So you become very efficient in a muscle, at an exercise, you're probably going to start slowing growth. So you need to change it up. And that's what I want to emphasize to people. Next time you go to the gym, ask yourself, like, am I doing something that I feel like I'm super efficient at, that my body's, you know, motor patterns are just able to just shoot through that movement and place less stress on my muscles? Because if that's the case, you need to change the angle of the exercise. So that'd be the last thing I would say.
Yeah, totally, man. And just as you said, if your goal is strength, I'm completely okay with you going in every day and doing squats and bench press in exactly the same plane and get really, really good there, because you're trying to be really efficient. So go in and do everything you possibly can in the exact same position and don't change anything, because you want to get strong and efficient. If your goal is hypertrophy and you want to change muscle and you want to build muscle, you actually want to be as inefficient as possible, as you say, and change stuff. Find out where you're weak and exploit it and make that your strength, and then rotate through onto the next weakness. And, you know, it's almost people always ask me, Ben, when was the last time you saw a plateau? And the truth is, the last time I saw a plateau is, A, when I took time off the gym, or B, when I really, when I, you know, started training. Like, I haven't seen a plateau in years since I've learned how to train, and now it's strategically planned. Like, unless I plan a plateau, like, unless I go, okay, well, I'm going to intentionally not try to grow now, I'm always growing. Something is always growing. It may not be all my entire body, but I'm strategically varying it. So, you know, maybe my back is growing this month and I'm changing the frequency and volume of that. Maybe I'll change it to legs. And there's always something that's progressing. It's always intelligent to find out. It's never just like, oh, I'm in a massive plateau, I haven't put on any weight or muscle in a couple of months. To me, that just doesn't seem possible anymore. And you gain control of your ability to move. You gain control of your ability to contract muscles. then you learn how to periodize, and I don't see why you should ever stop growing. I mean, ultimately, unless you're planning it, unless you don't want to grow, unless you're not training, unless you're injured, there's just no reason why there should be such things as a plateau. So all of you out there, if you're hitting a plateau, you just need to learn to do something new and vary one of your variables of hypertrophy.
100%, man.
All right, Doc, this is awesome, man. This is a great one, and I hope we can plan another one next week and get these people back on the boat.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Podcast. Yeah, I mean, certainly we have the time. We just got to coordinate schedules. So I'm obviously on the road a lot. Doc's on the road a lot. We're both working. Just haven't been able to manage to coordinate times. We're actually doing this at 10 p.m. right now because we obviously couldn't meet up during the day. But for next week, Doc, let's do it again for sure. And then I'll be back in Florida soon so we can coordinate to be on the same schedule.
Right on, my man.
All right, buddy. Always a pleasure. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we will see you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Stay connected on Facebook/ IFBB Ben PAK fan page, on Twitter @ IFBB Ben PAK, and of course, BenPakulski.com.